Welcome to the 128th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
In a world.
I'm Quizmaster Lee, and I've no drink right now.
Oh.
And I'm here with Quizmaster Mark.
Hello, Lee. How are you today?
Doing good. Got a very dry throat, so we have a bit of a different tone than usual.
And part of the reason that you have a dry throat is because of the talc powder from your brand new purple mattress.
I've been advised it is not a talc powder, but a secret plasticoid compound.
I'm way more concerned about that than I am about talc powder.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so the mattress finally arrived. It has been a week since our last recording session, and it literally came right before, because we know you want the updates on the mattress.
I'm good luck.
But yeah, you're wearing a purple shirt.
I am. I come in here looking like Violet Beauregard.
And the purple mattress followed, finally, after a week of arriving in Fort Myers and then coming to our house, but not being able to be delivered because there's no barcode. Oops. The barcode got all messed up, so they had to send it back to two different facilities to get re-barcoded. And I just, Kyle was like, can you like call them? And I'm like, we're just at their mercy at this point. Like the mattress is here, but for whatever reason, you know, it's just, it's being passed around the different FedEx like a joint, facilities.
Which is funny because it did come in here rolled up.
In a purple sleeve, you know?
Got that perp.
It had a Swisher Sweet vibe to it.
Indeed. It had Oh, what's that brand that Method Man always talks about? The something owl.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember.
But yeah, it was all wrapped up in a purple wrapping. And yeah, it's been delivered. Don't worry, listeners. I can have a sound night of sleep.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Gotta check out the grid.
Yeah.
Lee is unsure of the grid.
They sold me on this grid technology. They were like, you know, I was reading the website and they're like, foam, springs,
come
this
on.
Is all the old stuff. You guys, you know, need the grid. Doing? And so I got the grid bed, and I laid on it, and I felt like I was
first
in...
First thing he says.
I felt like I was in a bed designed by H.R. Geiger.
First thing he says, really feel that grid.
Yeah.
It was a George Costanza moment. It was very Seinfeld. Wow, I can really feel that grid.
Yep. So
I will say on Monday, the day that you were supposed to get the mattress, I did put a poll in the Facebook group.
Yeah, many people.
Overwhelming number of confident. People were very confident that the mattress was surely underneath your body. It was not.
Yep. And I went to host trivia at Palace and I left and I was like, maybe when I get back, the bed will be here.
Monday, you don't have a bed.
So foolish.
Tuesday, Wednesday, don't have a bed. Thursday, you don't have a bed. It's Friday, you have a bed.
Yeah, it did take it. It took a full week once it got into town here, pretty much. But yeah, lots of confidence there. And I guess, yeah, FedEx, they just, every time I called their customer support line, they were like, it's coming today. And I was like, I can see the website says that it's coming today. But it also said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So what assurance can you give me that it's coming today? And they said, well, it's, you know, it's got a new barcode on it. So it's definitely coming today.
Something similar
and
happened
I
to me.
And I see it and it goes back to the facility. And so I call the next day and I get a different person and they're like, it's coming today. And I say, no, they, you know, the person they called yesterday said that it's coming today. And they said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write an email to the local centers.
A sternly written email.
I'm going to mark it high priority.
Oh, that'll do it.
I don't really know what else I can ask of you to do. Thank you, customer support agent. You know, and yeah.
I had a similar problem with Bite Squad. I ordered food, speaking of Seinfeld, from Moe's. And welcome to Moe's. And it said that my driver had the food, but it was like an hour. So I went on their little support line. Of course, you can't call anybody. You have to do like a text chat. And they said, oh, the driver's got your food. And I go, but do they? But do they really? And they said, yep. And I was like, I don't know how you know that.
I see, but that's what your little thingy there says. Right.
And I was like, okay, good enough. And as soon as I closed it, I opened up another window. I was like, I just don't believe it. And I was like, can you confirm? And they said, sure. And they're like, yeah, no one has your food. It's just like the other one would just like, I don't want to say like a yes man or like a sheep, but it was just like, oh no, it says Anthony has your food. It's like, okay. I don't
Do you
care.
Know Anthony?
Right.
Who's Anthony?
Yeah, I do. You know, did you talk to Anthony? Did Anthony tell you that he is indeed in possession of my food and he is en route? No? Then we've got a problem. And I don't like to be that person, but
yeah.
Oh boy.
That sounds a little bit more advanced than what we have over here at FedEx. They've got their virtual runaround like on lockdown, basically.
Yeah, apparently.
So, you know.
We were talking a little bit before between the mattress and recording about the perfect question.
Yeah, or questions as they appear here on the podcast.
Yeah, so we had two interesting questions last week.
Right.
That put us both in interesting predicaments where we should have had it. And you were talking. So I don't write questions specifically for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I do, however, handpick them for you.
Right.
Out of my 18.
Right.
The top seven or top five or whatever, if we have guests. Yeah, we were talking a little bit about how you like when I get questions right. You try and get them so they're just out of reach for me.
Right. I think that's the best questions are either ones that you feel like you know but are uncertain about, or the ones that you have no idea, but the question is written in a way that it leads you to it, you know, and maybe some other answers that could be wrong, but you happen to get it right. Those are the moments on the podcast. And I started writing the questions mostly when quarantine hit because I wasn't doing, you know, the weekly trivia outside of the virtual trivia.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing the regular Palace trivia or at number three. So that's really when I started thinking about this and thinking, okay, well, I could just write some custom questions for the podcast each week. So, and it's almost like a writing exercise, you know, like, How can I you know, take a smaller number of questions and really try to fine tune them, which is why it's entertaining to me when they're even still so bad as some of them are. But we appreciate the feedback.
Indeed, know, yeah. Course. It seemed like the I know that the sus my personal sus of the German chocolate cake, which I will never forget the name of that for as long as I live now.
Right, formerly German's chocolate cake.
Yes, yes. Which I think, well, we'll probably do a no note on it later, but I think someone mentioned that.
Yeah. Fact that Kevin Hart wrote in with a no note and saying that, apparently
like the Kevin Hart.
No, Kevin Hart, like, are you saying a wrestler or is there another Kevin Hart? I'm not aware of.
Isn't little Kevin Hart, the actor, the comedian,
Kevin Hart? No, Gary.
Kevin Hart. Is that
oh, oh Kevin Hart, yeah.
Okay,
the comedian. See,
Jesus
Christ. When you said little,
yeah, he's short.
Right. But I was thinking he was a little person. You know. It's like he's just little.
Just because I say little, you think that I'm talking about a little
person? Yeah, maybe. Or at first I thought you were saying child actor. Oh, no. Yeah. I mean he's 5 foot. Would you call Danny DeVito little?
Yes.
You would say little Danny DeVito?
Yeah. I've talked previously about the ludicrous lyric. You got it all wrong, like women in tuxedos, and you're coming up shorter than five Danny DeVitos.
Maybe he's, I got his name wrong. Maybe you're
short and little, I guess, maybe be different. Maybe be different.
Yes.
Maybe you're different.
But yeah, Kevin wrote in to say that The Simpsons also had that same exact fact on their episode Sunday, which is crazy because we recorded on Friday. So the episode came out on Sunday. It was like, very interesting coincidence.
It is very, and Elise has talked multiple times about the crossword that she does,
right?
That so often intersects, and I've talked about episodes of Double Threat intersecting with stuff we've talked about, and them quoting the same Pee Wee Herman line that you quoted like the same week,
right?
Very strange.
Yeah,
very
strange. It's the zeitgeist information, but no, we do not receive the Simpsons scripts ahead of time any longer. We lost out on that opportunity. But maybe again one day.
Yes.
Okay. So, Mark, I hope you enjoy the questions that I've prepared for you today.
I'm sure I will.
I've got some categories that... tell me what you think about these categories. Commercial jingles. Mm-hmm. That's always a favorite, right? Commercial jingles. Casting failures.
Okay.
So, like, almost was cast.
Yep.
Nonfiction books.
It's a good category. I'm just bad at it, I'm sure.
I have a good feeling about that one. I don't want to jinx you, but
you're doing it. Still, you're doing it.
French language.
Yeah.
International film remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Federal law. And I'm going to go for another awards question here, but I'm doing Academy Awards instead of Grammys. Maybe an awards retribution question.
Yeah, I doubt it.
For myself, not retribution against you. It's not about, you know, I take the feedback on that question seriously. We'll get to that in the no notes.
Okay. And for you, we have... What do I want to ask you here? Birds, shortened versions of words, birds and words. I'll ask you about,
say birds and words.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I wish I could make all of this rhyme. Soap, the TV series. I don't know, presidents, and maybe it's something about ancient Greek mythology.
Okay. Well, before we get to our quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Perfect.
On Monday at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar, Team Moist was back in the mix, dominating most of the quiz, but falling short of winning to me and you and a dog named Rue, a.k.a. Elise, along with Dallas, who gained the advantage with a Game of Thrones question. The answer was Melisandre, and Team Moist put Missandre, which is a different character, but close.
Yes.
But not close, enough to be correct. Close
enough, exactly. Yeah.
Team Rue with 95 points in the end. Moist to men. Moist to men.
ABC, BBD.
DDD. With 93 points. And third place went to Everyone Else is Cheating, which I love that team name.
That's very good.
Yeah. Who ended the quiz with 70 points. On Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, 9 teams competed for victory. Ultimately, it was E equals MC Hammered, who won with 92 points. Fall Guy in second place with 81 points. That would be Christian of the Squeaky Chairs. And Special K in third with 69 points.
Nice.
How did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday evening, Mark?
It went well. Elise and Seth were there as a double team under the name hashtag overturn, which is funny because I did not realize that it was them. And I came back after the first round. I was like, guys, I have a team named hashtag overturn. What do you think that's related to? And everybody was like, the election. And I was like, ooh, do I have some like some right wing conspiracy theorists here?
And you did. It was Seth and Elise.
and I did. And it was Seth and Elise. And they do have dangerous thoughts.
I think they were being satirical in that
sense. Yo, they absolutely were. Yes. They ended up winning the second round. The first round went to yes, the Wet Cows. The first round, the second round, hashtag overturn. The third round went to Park That Horse-Drawn Sleigh Right in This Little Garage with 37 points.
WAS, Wet Santa.
Yes, indeed. Beating overturn, hashtag overturn, by 1 point.
Ooh.
Yes. And this was the same team with Faye that beat the other team last week by knowing how to wager.
So you're telling me on Monday, Elise won by 2 points, and then she felt the brunt of it on Wednesday. The same move, losing by just a hair.
Yes.
Oof.
Park That Horse-Drawn Sleigh Right in This Little Garage, wagered 20 on the last question and got it right. Elise and Seth missing the last question, only wagering 1. So, talk about a tight fit.
Motherfucker!
Yes, absolutely. And I do have, it's funny because Elise said she had just, I think from the crossword, had just heard the last question and knew the answer, but she could not think of it. And so I had Seth take video. I think maybe we can post that video on the Instagram or on the Facebook group. We'll see, so you can cool see it, yeah. Her hear the last answer. Maybe I'll ask that question of you today. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like an exciting night.
Oh, and I should mention the people. I'm sorry. The people on Zoom. Of course, the winner of the whole night. Big surprise. Whiskey Tango with 47 points.
Yes. Not Augustus Onassis. I already forgot his name. Aristotle Onassis.
Yes.
Yes. She taught us well. Lisa from Whiskey Tango.
Thank goodness.
On Thursday, we had 2 virtual quizzes on Twitch. The first quiz went to H-Bomb and Friends, breaking the combo of Glenn, 4 wins in a row. He was seeking his 5th, but H-Bomb stood in the way. Quiz 98 went to Apple 30309. Congratulations, Apple, on that. And Mappy 1984 won our 2000s Summer Hits audio round. So it was pop hits from the year 2000s. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming week, you have a few opportunities to do so. Tonight, Monday, December 14th, we'll be back at Palace Pub and Wine Bar for live trivia, asking questions about 2000s pop culture, 80s music, horror movies, anatomy, sandwiches, and college sports, among other topics. Sadly, we will be taking a hiatus from Trivia Palace, so join us tonight for our last scheduled trivia in Cape Coral for the foreseeable future at 7:30 p.m. to have a chance to win some free bottles of wine. This Wednesday, December 9th, we're back at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida. Categories will include geography, history, literature, music, movies, science, and more. That starts at Pointy Bell at 7:30 p.m. More details in the show notes. And if you're in the Cape, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesday at Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral.
Hi.
Or on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. And Thursday, December 10th, we're back on Twitch for our weekly virtual trivia night. I'll be asking questions based on our player requests. Come play to get your name on our leaderboard. You can request categories for next week's virtual quiz. We'll start at 8 p.m. on Twitch on Thursday. You can follow us at twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia to get a notification for that. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you? Ooh, that was painful. Yeah, and then once you matched me, I had to go a little bit, so it got all wobbly.
Yeah. Yep. Don't rate us based on that. And we have to apologize here to Jeopardy Man. Jeopardy Man has updated his review several times over the past few weeks. First to update and say, too many F-bombs on episode 125 in particular.
Okay.
And then we got hit after episode 126 came out. He brought that thing back down to a 1-star rating.
Jeez.
And it was just like, cut out the F-bombs.
We're not going to do it.
Yeah, we can't, Jeopardy Man. I mean, it's just the way that our podcast is. You know, you're in our house.
This isn't Jeopardy Man.
Yeah, it's not. This is No Nonsense Trivia.
Hey, Jeopardy Man, this isn't Jeopardy Man. It's like when Jay-Z says, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman.
Oh, okay.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Also,
important commas.
Champagne for my true friends.
True pain for my sham friends.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
Real.
Is that Jay-Z?
Real. Is it real pain? Yes. Champagne for my real friends. Real pain for my sham friends. I believe that's it. That's clever as shit. I don't care who you are.
Indeed. Indeed. But Jeopardy Man, we hope that you stick around and I don't want to even say just give us a 5, okay? 5 stars only means 5 stars only. You can't dock us 4 stars for a couple curses.
Dare I say, give us a fucking 5.
Mm-hmm. Give us a fucking 5. Give us a fucking 5.
Fucking 5, Jeopardy Man.
Yes.
I fucking dare ya.
All right. Let's take a fucking break, and then we'll be back with some fucking questions in round motherfucking 1.
Fuck.
Back.
Hello.
Mark.
Yes.
Is it my turn to ask you?
It is.
Commercial jingles.
All right. Jingle all the way.
Love That Chicken is a commercial jingle written and performed by R&B and funk legend Dr. John for what fast food chain? Love That Chicken is a commercial jingle written and performed by R&B and funk legend Dr. John for what fast food chain?
Hmm. Dr. John, noted singer and songwriter and celebrity for NOLA, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yes.
Passed away recently. Last year.
2019, I think.
2019, okay. Because I know they had a big celebration funeral procession for him. And I believe the answer to that question is Love That Chicken from Popeyes.
Absolutely correct. Very good.
Thank you.
A New Orleans-based chain.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. If you ever get there, have you had their chicken sandwich, the spicy chicken sandwich?
I've not had the pleasure.
Oh, Lee.
I know they were in hot demand. Somebody died over one. Really? Yeah. Somebody got stabbed depressing. In line.
Okay.
Waiting for one.
They are good.
They were supposed
They're
to
not that good.
They were supposed to have a supply for like months, and they ran out. Most places ran out in the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
And yeah, this was in pre-COVID time, so people remember how edgy were people were back then. Now yep. They're now calm and very relaxed these days.
Yeah. Everything is good now.
Jokes.
And with all the toilet paper going away again. All right. Here's your first question. Mm-hmm. What wading bird, the only bird in the order Phenacoptiformis, has only 6 species? 4 throughout the Americas, including the Caribbean, and 2 species that are native to Africa, Asia, and Europe.
Well, I know a handful of wading birds. There's the egret. There's the ibis. There's also the flamingo. And I think there are a limited number of types of flamingo, and I do think that they can be found in the various parts of the world that you listed. So I'm going to go with flamingo.
That is correct.
All right. That's very good luck, good. Too, because our daughter asked me to pick my favorite out of a list of birds this morning, and I went with flamingo.
It is
perhaps
a good
it
one.
Was a sign.
I don't know if I pronounced Phenacoptiformis right.
That was the other thing is I was thinking phoenix and flamingos are very brightly colored.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I don't know if there's a connection there or if that's just coincidence.
Well, great job.
Thank you. Casting failures. What comedian was considered for the role of Jack in The Shining, but was rejected by director Stanley Kubrick for seeming too psychotic? What comedian was considered for the role of Jack in The Shining, but was rejected by director Stanley Kubrick for seeming, quote, too psychotic?
So, two answers come to mind right off. One is Christopher Walken. And did you ever see, what movie is it? It's not, I don't think it's Annie Hall. But there's another Woody Allen movie. It's the one that Jawbreaker uses in Jet Black. Have you seen this movie? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do think it's Annie Hall.
Is it Annie Hall?
I think so.
Where he goes and like meets her, like her brother. Mm-hmm. He's like
played by Christopher Walken.
Yes. And it is very creepy. The other answer I think of, and we've talked about his level of creepiness before, is Tim Curry. Who was originally up for Judge Doom in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And they were like, too scary. He's too frightening. I don't know if it's someone else who's like actually scary, but I keep thinking of Tim Curry getting turned down for roles.
Can I read you the question one more time?
Not Tim Curry. Yeah, sure.
What comedian?
Oh, what comedian?
Was considered for the role of Jack Torrance in The Shining, but was rejected by director Stanley Kubrick for seeming, quote, too psychotic.
What comedian?
Yes. And Tim Curry and Christopher Walken, both very capable of being funny, but I would not describe them as comedians.
Right. I wonder if this is someone who acts, or if they just like kind of tried to like go off book a little bit and score somebody who hadn't been. Oh man. George Carlin would be funny. And I could see him being psychotic. But I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to go with Andy Kaufman. Thinking of him as a comedian and knowing like how into stuff he gets. I'm going to say Andy Kaufman.
No, I'm sorry. That is that's a great idea, though.
Is that not? Does that not sound amazing?
You're barking up the right tree.
Okay.
The answer is Robin Williams.
Oh, okay.
Very similar energy to Andy Kaufman, yeah. I would say.
And went on to do serious stuff, and he did that one scary movie.
1 hour photo.
1 hour photo. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Jack Nicholson was said to be Williams's favorite impression to do.
Okay.
And he's just as a side note, he says that Dana Carvey did his favorite impression of himself.
Oh.
So as far as impersonating Robin Williams, he felt like Dana Carvey nailed that role.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the main things that one of the opinions I have that people do not like, one of my most unpopular opinions, I do not like Robin Williams mm-hmm. almost at all.
Yeah, which I don't really get it. I mean, I think he's a beloved figure, you know. I guess it's like, I mean, you tell me. What's the problem?
I tell you what. Oh, I mean, well,
what's your beef?
he's gonna throw down. I mean, I
dry throat.
Jesus Lord, what have I done? I will say that I have liked him in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mostly his stand up. And definitely his interviews I can't stand.
You just don't like his energy.
Yeah,
I don't. It's a personality
thing. I don't. And I mean, like, I do feel bad having that opinion still to this day, knowing that he killed himself, because clearly, like, his energy was like a coping mechanism or a call for help. But I just, God, man.
Yeah, well, he was suffering from Lewy body dementia at the end of his life too. And I think that played into his decision a little bit, but yeah, he has talked about his depression, and that I think he has mentioned, you know, that is like, it was like a drug to him. There was a 2018 documentary about him, that had some interviews about people that knew him, and it was his outlet.
Yeah.
Know? So
for sure.
Yeah.
Big rip. Here's your second question.
Mm-hmm.
What does con stand for in the word con man?
I know this. And it's all thanks to a little television series called Lost.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Wow, we always come back to Lost, huh?
First, I was like conniving because I was thinking of D12, Eminem's rap group, and mm-hmm. one of them is named Khan, and they call him Conniving Khan.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not right. That's not what it is. It stands for Sawyer was a con man on the character Sawyer on Lost. And I believe there's an episode titled Confidence Man.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. 2 for 2.
Yep.
It's so funny that we had a conversation about liking getting stuff right.
Yes. It seems to have worked out in my favor.
Indeed.
We'll see how you do with this nonfiction books question.
Oh, great.
I don't know. Like I said, all right, here's the question. What book by Oliver Sacks recounted the life history of the victims of the encephalitis lethargica epidemic in 1973.
I don't know this. I know I got this book from somebody.
Oh.
Oliver Sacks was one of the favorite guests of Radiolab.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was thinking.
Which is maybe my favorite podcast of all time, though. The newer episodes pale in comparison to the older episodes.
They had a hosting change, right? Jad Abumrad and
Robert Colwich left.
Right.
Yeah. But even before he left, it just seems like the show went in a different direction.
Mm. I haven't listened in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's still really good. But things like Hollywood Handbook in the way of comedy and Heavyweight
right.
in the way of emotion have definitely taken over for me.
But yes, Oliver Sacks was on that show several times.
Many times, yes. And someone got me this book or another book by him. I'm sure he's written any number of books. Can I hear the question one more time?
What book by Oliver Sacks recounted the life history of the victims of the encephalitis lethargica epidemic in 1973?
Encephalitis lethargica. Well, encephalitis swells your brain. Is that right? I think it was mosquitoes were carrying around encephalitis. And I think like the big thing is like swole your brain. That brain on swole. And Lethargica is my Metallica cover band. Lazy Swollen Brain. I don't know. I'll just say big sleepy brain.
No. That's a great alternate title, though. Yeah. A subtitle maybe to the book Awakenings.
Oh, okay.
Awakenings. Yeah. Because the book was about them coming out of this lethargica, gotcha. Which you're right. Encephalitis is a swelling inflammation of the brain.
Gotcha.
So you're on the right track, but yeah.
Huh. All right. Last question of the second round.
First round.
First round. The TV series Soap spawned what spin-off TV show from 1979 to 1986, focusing on the butler from that series?
Well, I do know one show about a butler. And if I remember correctly, I've never seen it, but if I remember correctly, it's about a traditional British butler who comes to America. Almost like the one character from The Nanny, now they think about it. There was a British butler in that show.
Starring Fran Drescher?
Yes, but she was the nanny. Mm-hmm. And what's the butler's name on that show? Was it Niles? No. You can't have two Niles on TV at the same time. Because the anti-Niles clause. We must keep their numbers limited.
Limit your Niles.
Because you just got, you know, too many characters named Niles. That cast list is going to go on for Niles and Niles and Niles. Christ. Say.
That sounds like Niles on a chalkboard.
Oh.
Hello.
All right. But to get back on the subject here, I believe the answer is Mr. Belvedere.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Oh.
Ooh, so much assuredness.
Well, I it's the only butler show I can think
you
of.
You might know this one. Are you familiar with the name Robert Guillaume? Are you familiar with that name?
Mm-mm.
An African-American actor in the 70s and the 80s. The correct answer is Benson.
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 Okay.
Starring Robert Guillaume.
Okay. And it was a sitcom or was it a drama?
It was a sitcom.
Sitcom. Okay. Benson.
Soap was a show that was kind of lampooning soap operas of the day. And it was like kind of too naughty for TV. Like there was, you know, something that a lot of parents wouldn't let their kids watch. And then there, Benson was an offshoot from that TV series.
Yeah. I was like thinking something like Absolutely Fabulous might tie in. But then when you said The Butler, I knew that wasn't the case. For that, was Benson an American show or was that a British sitcom?
It was an American show.
Okay. And but Soap was a British show or no?
I believe it was an American show.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I got the British thing then.
You might have just been stuck on Mr. Belvedere. Yeah that would be my guess.
All right, well, that is three questions from each of us. It's time to take a little break and then we'll be back with a healthy amount of miscorrections, no notes, and feedback on my Grammys question from the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. Mark, we have some miscorrections here.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes. The Rudy Band Bro. I think we discovered what that was at the beginning. It's just that with a filter on it or something.
I would like for someone to just take that and put it in one of those Casios where it takes a sound and puts it in different keys.
Oh, yeah.
And just plays it. So it was like, that would be very confusing, but.
Well, beautiful. We got a lot of feedback here on the Grammy question. First, I guess let's just go over some of the other stuff here. we had Ian in the Facebook group says, just a little correction for episode 125 for the Bangladesh question or Rage Against the Machine photo shoots us. As some may have picked up from the podcast, both Seth and myself are big World War II history fans, but my favorite area I like to learn everything about is the Vietnam conflict. At the end of the question, Seth explains the monk burned himself to oppose the French colonial rule in Vietnam, which returned after World War II. Actually, the event took place June 11th, 1963, after the French had been expelled from the country and it split into North and South. Thich Quang Duc was the Buddhist monk who quietly sat in a busy intersection in Saigon and proceeded to light himself on fire. He did this to bring attention to the heavy persecution of Buddhists in South Vietnam by the U.S.-backed Roman Catholic government led by Ngo Dinh Diem. And Ian had some more great info about the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, also mentioned in episode 125. You can check more of that out on our Facebook group. Now on to this rate my question, this impromptu rate my question. The Grammys question where I asked, you know, which person beat this group of people's shared record in 2010, most female or female with most nominations. And the answer was Beyonce, who is one of the individuals who shared the record previously. And you took umbrage with this, which is fair. And you put out a call. You said, please write in. Let us know what you think about Lee's question here. And I had also brought up the glitter question that you infamously asked at one of your trivias at Nice Guys and on Zoom. And we heard from people that experienced both. We heard here from Aaron Dyer says, I'm kind of with you. It's not out of bounds, but if I had to vote in favor of one of you, I'd agree with Mark, your idea of discounting it. But glitter falls under this as well. So I'm okay with Lee Bretschneider doing it once. So he's a fan of the retribution aspect here. We also heard from Trivia Dunce Kyle writes, the record for most Grammys won by a female single night is 6, not 7. I did misread that when I was initially reading the question.
Oh, so okay.
Click clarification there. Although both Beyonce and Adele do both share the record. Also, I agree with Mark that the name should not be included in the list. We heard from Evan Tishik, who says, the last question about the Grammy Award record stated that the correct performer had won 7 awards in 2010. However, after revealing the answer, you actually said 6 and then listed out the 6 categories. I also said nominated earlier in this segment, so 1 is the correct question.
Okay.
Wikipedia confirms 6 as well. I agree with Mark. By providing a list of past Grammy winners, it implies the correct answer is not one of the people listed. Having to rely on legalistic wording seems pretty lame. I think a better approach might be something like, since 1999, 7 female performers have won 5 or more Grammys in a single night. Name any 3 of them. Or name any of those who received more than 5 awards or something like that. That is an entirely new format, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just wanted to add, my question could easily be amended to say, which of these performers?
Oh, like, absolutely.
You know, to narrow the list down. But I think what Evan was getting at here is very accurate, is that even though it is a legally correct way of framing the question, there's this kind of communal understanding, you know, that there's this communal bias, like, it's not one of these. We all understand it's probably not going to be one of these, because who would put the answer in the question like that? Who would just give it to you? And that needs to be respected. That needs to be respected. I think if anything I learned from this, it's that this question would have bombed if I had read it live. People would have been, what is that? Beyonce, you said it, blah, blah,
and
blah.
I was shocked that you did not ask this live. And I know that you've been writing questions, and this is another thing that was prompting us talking in the beginning before we started recording, that you do write questions specifically for this. But much like the Fortnite question of 60 or 70 questions or episodes ago, wondering how many people would get Fortnite correct if I asked it at my my night, I would be very curious to see. Maybe you should throw this in.
Yeah.
And see if you get any pushback.
I have been doing it the other way. I have been asking some questions live that I've asked here on the podcast. you know, a little incentive for those of you that listen, you know, come out, get some extra points.
There you go.
Might help you out.
Hint, hint.
We listeners. Also heard from David Holbrook, the cubed man.
Yes.
Mark taking issue with the Grammy question after the glitter fiasco has me seething. I think about that glittery shit embarrassingly often. I'm Team Lee for that reason, but in my opinion, both questions are sneaky and could easily be rewritten to not include the answers within them. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the question as it stands, it's not a bad question, but it could use some editing, you know? And thanks for the feedback, everyone. Also, Mark, Elise wants you to know, related to your Russian slang sus, apples and pineapples are not citrus fruits.
It's true.
So apples, yeah, definitely. Pineapples, you could have probably convinced me that was a citrus fruit.
Real quick, on the Reddit, Foxen V also wanted to weigh in. They said, just responding to Lee's last question, my wife and I agree with Mark. Not a fan of including Beyonce in the list of artists. It made it sound as if it was someone not on the list. Also agree with Lee's reaction to Mark's glitter question. Don't put the answer in the question. Love the show. Keep up the great work, you two.
Bit of a faux pas to put the answer in the question.
Yes.
Unless you draw attention to it. Like, if you present a list of 7 or 4 and say, which of these, I think that's fair game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have a no note here. Kind of a missed correction and no note for you.
Okay.
In my question regarding the Book of Les Go.
Yes. Very important book of the Bible.
While you were sussing, and I don't know if I got all of your sus, but you only named 2 correct books in the Bible.
Yes.
During your sus. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Book of Jacob and the Book of Genesis, both of which are books.
Right. The Book of Laws is not a book.
The Book of Laws is not a book, nor is the Book of Plagues, nor is the Book of Judgment, though the Book of Judges is a book. And the Book of Joseph is not a book.
So that's right.
You got 2 out of 6 guesses.
Yes.
As you sussed.
Yes.
Not including your final guess. None of those were books in the Bible. So.
I know. But I do want to at least comfort listeners. I did remember the name of the guy that was asked to make a sacrifice. Abraham is his name.
Yes. And I believe I was going to mention after your guess, and I was actually just going to mention Abraham, is I believe there is a Bob Dylan song called Abraham, Kill Me a Son.
Wow.
And
now owned by Universal Music.
I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. After he sold it all for however many fucking ridiculous dollars.
Mm-hmm. I'm selling out. Yeah.
After he got caught fucking straight lifting lines off of some author. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all down in the dumps from him.
Right. Bob Dylan. Abraham. All right. If you heard anything sus, you want to write in with a missed correction, or you rate my question, or even just a little no-note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. But we would love you to call us at 1-929-356-6966. Okay. Are you ready for round 2?
I am.
Then give me a question. Please.
Just because you asked nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
What president is believed to be the first American to earn a brown belt in judo?
The gentle way. Judo.
What president earned a brown belt in the gentle way? Is it a gentleman?
Who would fuck somebody up gently? I'm assuming
fuck me gently.
Brown belt is, you got to know, you don't start at brown. You've got some education.
It is the rank right below black belt.
Ooh. I don't know why. It would just be hilarious to be like Nixon. I'm going to sock it to you now. You're trying to sock it to me. I sock it to you.
Oh, boy.
Maybe Ford. Ford was kind of athletic. Gerald Ford. I can't see it being Clinton. Maybe Obama. I know Obama was big into basketball, but I've never heard anybody say, oh yeah, judo. I had 2 bad habits back then. Cigarettes and judo. Couldn't stop. I love the gentle way. Ford. It just seems like a founding fathers era. Are they they're not practicing judo. It'd just be comical. Like Lincoln judo brown belt. Kennedy. Kennedy was, you know, military and strapping young lad. I think he's he has a purple heart. Navy.
His heart's purple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I could see it being him. But he had a lot of health problems too. So maybe he wasn't like getting too physical with it. You know, he's like spending his energy where needed, but like the idea of getting slapped around probably wouldn't have been good for him. Gerald Ford. I knew he was a lifeguard. It's not Trump. George W. Bush. No. George Bush Sr. Maybe George Bush Sr. I don't think it was Reagan. I don't think it was Carter. George Bush Sr. versus Ford. I don't think it was Johnson. I'm going to stop sussing here. I'm going to say it was either George Bush Sr. or Gerald Ford. And I'm going to go with, George Bush was part of the CIA, right? You would want some kind of maybe judo knowledge. Get put into a bad situation. You want judo. You want to check out chicks, you're becoming a lifeguard. Gerald Ford. I'm going with George Bush. George Herbert Walker Bush.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Wrong. The correct answer is Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, Teddy really? Roosevelt. Okay. Yes. The Rough Rider.
Yes. Now, there is no doubt that he practiced judo while he was in the White House. There is a little bit of argument about whether or not he achieved that level. This is from a website called stackexchange.com. A person writes in and says, Roosevelt trained judo under two instructors for a period of around a few months each in 1902 to 1904. He maintained an interest in the art after this corresponding and reading on it and may have continued to sporadically train with wrestling partners. But by his own autobiography's account, he only trained for a few years at most. He was a boxer and then took up judo. And it says no contemporary records indicate he was awarded any grade during this time. And as such, the oft-quoted brown belt remark appears to be a later invention, possibly based off of seemingly speculative newspaper remarks of the time, like there are 7 degrees in jujitsu, the president's instructions are proficient in 5 degrees, and Mr. Roosevelt intends to have all 5 of them. There is also another reference that says, including Teddy Roosevelt, the president practiced 3 times a week and qualified for a brown belt. So there is a little bit of like argument about whether or not he actually achieved it, but he definitely wasn't a judo and he definitely was at that level.
That is a great question.
Thank you.
Yeah. I should have thought of Teddy because he is the, you know, the rough and tumble.
Yep.
I've just been shot, but I'm going to finish the speech.
Yeah. Do not care.
Yep. French language. Your first category. In French, the phrase dodo is baby talk for what activity? D-O-D-O. In French, the phrase dodo is baby talk for what activity?
Hmm. Dodo.
Dodo.
D-O-D-O.
Mm-hmm.
Could be shitting. Like doo-doo. Thought you're putting your finger on a button already. I was like, damn, man. Little boy sus.
No.
No, 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 not that easy.
Just trying to wet my throat.
W-H-E-T.
Mm-hmm. Wet my whistle.
I'll be Dodo. Our next one-star review. No more dry throat noises, please.
What are kids, what are babies doing? What activity? Dodo. Oh, boy. Kids walk, they bounce. Trying to think of a French word that sounds like duh. I think that would be helpful, but I don't know if I know. I'm going to go with pooping.
No. I'm sorry. It's nap or sleep. Dodo. It's like saying nighty night.
Okay.
So it's usually set around bedtime or.
Oh, because domir.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Now you got it.
See,
and you yawned after you said dodo, and I was like, this motherfucker's going to sleep his way right to the answer.
If I fell asleep, would you give me that as a correct answer?
I think, yeah, I would have to, right? At least a pity point.
I'm sad I'm not more tired.
Dodo.
Dodo. I was thinking, like, oh, well, what, you know, what French word starts with a do? And I couldn't think of it as soon as you said sleep. I was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Nap time.
Yeah. Oh, I got to give you a question, mm-hmm. huh?
Dodo.
Sorry, I dodoed at the wheel. All right, here is your next question. According to mythology, what goddess gifted olives to the Greeks?
Hmm.
I love when you do like a double take, your eyebrows go, oh, how dare this motherfucker.
No, it's, you know, this is good. This is a good mythology question. Who brought the olives to the Greeks? Thank you, by the way, to whoever this is.
No? No.
Not an olive fan?
Not.
I love them.
Oh.
All of them. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Please, let me know you hear me.
Do you hear my joke? Let's see here. You said goddess, right?
Yes.
Hera, Athena, Aphrodite.
The mighty Aphrodite.
Well, not a lot to suss on here. Unless her name is like Olivia. Which there is a lot of those kind of names. A lot of times the Greek has carried through to our language. And so it's informed by the names of these gods. And that would be cheeky, but I don't think that there is a goddess named Olivia.
Is it cheeky? Well, you know, my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
I guess I'll say Hera.
That's incorrect. Wrong. You did say the name.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia.
No. Athena. Oh, Olivia is good. Athena is correct.
Ah, okay.
The way the story goes, I don't know the whole shebang, so you'll have to pardon me. But Athena was pardon fighting the
shebang, folks.
please pardon this shebang. Was fighting, I guess, with what's water dude, Poseidon, for like the ability to like have the right to do something with Greece, like have its back or whatever, like, you know, sanctify Greece or whatever. And Poseidon did some shit And Grease was like, what the fuck ever? And she was like, here's an olive plant. And Grease was like, yay. So she won. She
bought the votes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, pardon the shebang, everyone. Yeah.
Please. Clearly, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. It was something like that. I hate olives. I think they're disgusting. So
honestly, Athena is the one that you can blame then.
Yeah. Yeah. Athena is honestly,
I say frankly, you,
a straight up shithead. She's a fuckhole.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, Jeopardy, man.
Thank you, Athena. All right. Film remakes. International film remakes. Of Christopher Nolan's films, which was released in 2003 and is the only of his 11 films released to date that is a remake of another film? This is an interesting reaction.
I'm going to make this a short one. I think I might know it. I know we don't keep score here, but if I get this, will we have the same number of right answers? Maybe.
Probably. You got
one week Popeyes. Since I looked at you. Yep.
And that's it. So this would be two. Yeah.
And I think you got the first two. And
yep.
Okay.
So we are keeping score.
I think it's... No. Just saying. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I have a box set of Christopher Nolan movies from early on. And I think I got it after the Batman trilogy came out. And it's like, here's Christopher Nolan's just movies. 2003 is so long ago. I keep thinking, like, is it longer ago?
I think 17 years.
Yeah, right? Jesus Christ.
This movie could see a rated R movie.
Mm-hmm.
Legally
Drive. Am I missing something else? I think I just need to say it. Following?
Wrong. Following, I believe, is his first movie.
Okay.
That came out a few years earlier than this. This would be Insomnia.
Oh.
Insomnia. You remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I don't think I ever saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very good.
I've heard very good things.
It is actually his third highest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you want to guess what's above it? 92%.
I would say Inception.
Insomnia. Nope.
No, mm-hmm. Really?
Nope.
Well, The Dark Knight.
Yes. Dark Knight at 94% fresh.
And there's one more?
One in between. Insomnia and The Dark Knight. 93%.
Is it another Batman movie?
Nope.
Is it Memento?
It is Memento. That's right.
Hey. Yep. Okay. So,
hopefully Insomnia is in that box set. I feel like, you know.
I think it it might be. It's a Blu-ray box set.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was, I think, a Swedish film. Might be Norwegian. Erik Skoldbjerg, the director of the original film, said of Nolan's reinterpretation, "Well, I haven't seen it for quite a while, but when I first saw it, it was a very strange experience because it was quite close stylistically to the original. I felt lucky that it's such a well-crafted, smart film and that it had a really good director handling it, because as a remake, I think it did really well and it doesn't hurt anyone. It doesn't hurt any original if a remake is done well. So I was really lucky that Christopher Nolan took it upon himself to do it. And it does feel a little bit different than the rest of his movies, but it's a good movie. I would recommend it."
Indeed. Here is your...
Great next. Cast, too.
Yeah. Here's your next question. I think you might know this.
I hope so.
What were the first names of the Dukes of Hazzard cousins?
I don't know this. Wait. Luke? Luke Duke? His name Luke Duke? Luke and Owen? the Dukes of Hazzard. They were Hazzard County, I think, was the name of the setting. Which this is me blind sussing here. You're getting a look into what I think I might know about Dukes of Hazzard. Bo Duke. One of them's name is Bo. Bo and Luke Duke. Luke Duke is too silly. I feel like it's right, but it just sounds so wrong. Luke Duke. Terrible.
Duke Duke.
Yeah. Duke Duke and Luke Duke. It's like the Mario Brothers. Bo and Luke Duke. Bo and Owen. Owen and Bo Duke. Luke and Bowen. Bo and Lucan. Bo.
Now you're just combining
Astrid.
Words.
Astrid. I'm going to go with Bo and Derek. Bo Derek. Bo and Derek Luke. Bo and Luke Duke.
Owen, did you say Bo and Darren Luke?
Derek Luke. No, Bo and Luke.
Bo and Luke are correct.
Hey!
You said you didn't know
Luke
this.
Duke.
Luke Duke and Bo Duke.
Bo Duke is a fine name, but Luke Duke.
Bo Duke.
That, if Bo I was Duke, in that writing room,
Bo
I'd
Duke,
be like.
Bo Duke, Bo Duke, Bo Duke, Bo Duke. Did a little do.
If I was in the writing room, I would be like, we can't do this guy. Like, y'all. Everyone.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na. Luke Duke, Luke Duke, Luke Duke, Luke Duke. Do-do-do-do-do.
Wow. I'm shocked. All right. Federal law.
Oh, great.
Federal law. What part of the Housing Act of 1937 authorizes the payment of rental housing assistance to private landlords on behalf of low-income households in the United States? What part of the Housing Act of 1937 authorizes the payment of rental housing assistance to private landlords on behalf of the low-income households in the United States?
I think I understand what the answer is supposed to be with how you're wording your question. Though I'm not entirely sure what part, and I know that there is Section 8 housing, and I know that that is for like poorer areas. So I'm going to say Section 8.
That's correct. Whew. Section 8.
I thought there was no way I was going to get that question.
No, yeah. Section 8 of the Housing Act of 1937. So that's what Section 8 refers to.
Yeah. Well, at first I was thinking HUD, but I was like, when I was thinking section, I was like, oh, maybe you mean like section of the government, you know, like section of, you know, I don't know what the hell
my brain is thinking. Yeah, so HUD is the department that administers, the state department that administers it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Housing assistance programs first started during the Great Depression. And it was based on other housing assistance programs, Section 8, but developed into what is today the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974 as a response to the problem moving from substandard housing. That used to be the big problem, is that the houses themselves that lower income families were not safe to live in. But that turned into the cost of housing proportional to income. So that is when it became, you know, once the focus shifted to that, that's when Section 8 was introduced.
Huh. Okay. Well, I can't believe it was that long ago, but I guess it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Here is your last question of the second round.
Is that?
Or wait a minute. Is that it?
I think that's it. I think you're trying to sneak another one in. Because you went first this round, right? So 1-1-2-2-3-3. Yep.
Okay. All right.
All right. So let's take a little break.
Okay. Let's calm down. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll rate a question or two.
Yes, we've got plenty here.
Oh, we got a whole friggin' thing, but keep them coming. And then we will ask our final questions after this non-message.
So this is Kyle's rate my question, and
we're back, by the way.
Well, I was going to cut this in. Yeah. So we can
we'll just do it live.
Okay.
We got it.
Sure. We're back
there.
Here we are. And we got to rate my question here from Kyle. No music this time, because we're just jumping right into it. That's what you get. That's we're doing this in a jiffy here.
All right, Kyle.
Because Kyle's about ready to go to a gig, but she has been wanting to ask this question on the podcast for quite some time now.
I'm very excited.
Would you like to read it?
Please.
Hundreds of naturally mummified bodies are scattered throughout an open area known as Rainbow Valley, which is located where?
You know the answer to this?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
I didn't include the answer.
Wow. Yeah,
because I figured he could just...
All right, quick sus. So hundreds of mummified bodies. Mm-hmm. Rainbow Valley.
Yeah, so I know the Buddhist monks were popular fans of mummification. And the Rainbow Valley sounds like one of these places where they would do this. It's kind of like a hidden paradise in the mountain range that's over there. So
over in Nepal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is Nepal. The thing with this question is it says located where. That's a very ambiguous prompt for an answer, because it could mean city, country,
what desert,
right?
What?
So I would answer Nepal probably. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I'll go with Nepal.
Is it Nepal?
Okay, so about I was not specific in the, you know, what area. So I didn't say what country because it's a specific landmark. You're on the right track, though. So with that information, what do you think you would guess?
A specific landmark.
So maybe it's like some kind of temple.
Mm.
Like an ancient temple.
It's a well-known, like, it's not like some obscure temple thing. Like, it's
I was going to say Angkor Wat was a possibility. Or Angkor Wat, whatever it's called.
The pyramids of Giza.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, mummies.
Yep.
And it's in that general region. Do you want to say that?
Yeah.
We'll say the pyramids of Giza.
Okay, that is incorrect.
Ooh, give us an A.
Okay, so the correct answer is Mount Everest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course. And they use those bodies to tell as landmarks for where you are.
Yes. It's a it's kind of macabre. It's called Rainbow Valley because it's the brightly colored hiking gear that all these people who tried to scale the summit, they have fallen and
died.
They'd have died. It's actually even more macabre than that, because if you see somebody, if you're on the trail and you're trying to scale the summit and you see somebody that's dying, you can't stop. Like, right. You can't help them. They're dead. They're gone. They're done for. That's fine. And jeez. So because of all of the, you know, the altitude and because of like the, you know, weather conditions at that altitude, they the bodies become naturally mummified. So
that is a great fucking question. A+.
Yes. And thank you.
A+. You married that.
Yeah. She is a genius.
You married that brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question.
I've decided I'm getting rid of the thumbs, the stars. I'm returning. I'm returning finally to the PIB system. I made a system for this. So I'm going to be rating each of these PIBs. And that's full PIBs. That is popular subject matter, geography. It's interesting. Built-in hint, it's got the rainbow thing.
Mm-hmm.
And short and sweet, you know? It doesn't overstay its welcome as a question. Easy to understand. Full PIBs.
So how are you going to rate then? Full PIBs, half PIBs?
No.
Quarter PIBs, three-quarters
PIBs? Each letter.
No PIBs?
Each letter will have a rating. So if it's PIBs, it's great. It's got everything.
If it's PIB?
If it's PIB, it's too long.
What if it's IB?
If it's IB, it's not popular. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about nibs.
Maybe a ps.
Mm-hmm. There could be a piss. It could be a ps.
I hope there is a piss.
We'll see. But yeah, that's going to be my new rating system. I mean, I've already explained it, so it's perfect for the podcast. PIBs.
Thank you, Kyle. Full PIBs,
babe. We have a couple questions here for Miles.
Let's do one of them.
You remember Miles?
I do remember
Miles. They're very quick. I think we're going to know these pretty
well. All right.
But I think they're good questions. Miles writes, "Good day, gents. I've got a couple rate my questions for you. You can choose one or both. The first is a little easier than the second. Here's the first one. Formerly known as Longacre Square, this location was renamed in 1904 after a local newspaper."
One more time.
Formerly known as Longacre Square, this location was renamed in 1904 after a local newspaper.
Do you know this?
I have a guess. I'm almost certain it's correct.
Longacre Square, mm-hmm. named after a newspaper. Oh.
3, 2, 1. Times Square.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
New York Times, mm-hmm. Times Square.
Yep.
Yes.
And Shane Stant was charged with the assault of this athlete.
Did we verify that answer?
We have not. I just thought we could verify real quick.
We'll do what we did last week where he just trudged over Dallas's question.
Yeah, we'll read about that.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah. They're both from Miles. Shane Stant was charged with the assault of this athlete in 1994, the story of which was made into an Academy Award-winning movie in 2017.
One more time.
Shane Stant was charged with the assault of this athlete in 1994, the story of which was made into an Academy Award-winning movie in 2017.
What do you think this is?
I think it's Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan wasn't attacked. Tanya Harding was, right? Or no, you're right. You're right. You're
Nancy
right,
Kerrigan
you're
right. was attacked. Why me?
But 2017?
Yeah.
I, Tanya is more recent than that, isn't it?
No, I think it's 2017. And that tells the story. It's from
Tanya Harding. Oh, I know it tells the story, but the thing that was, and I know that 94 is around the time that Nancy Kerrigan was attacked, but I could have swore I, Tanya came out later than that, but maybe you're right. All right. We'll go with I, Tanya.
All right. Let's look these up. Shane Stant was the manager who had initially planned to carry out the attack to Nancy Kerrigan's house.
Okay.
So we got that one. And Longacre Square is the other piece of information we need to verify. Yes, Times Square. So we got that one as well. These are both pretty easy, but I give them pibs.
Yeah, I would give both of them strong A's.
Okay. Any improvements you would make or any feedback?
I don't know that they can be really improved on. They just don't have that juice.
You know what I think? They're written in a Jeopardy style right now. It says, you know, this square, this location, this athlete. And I prefer, you know, in pub trivia, not having Jeopardy style questions, just having it as a question, like saying which or what athlete, which square.
Yeah.
I just think the form is a little bit sharper in that capacity.
I think in the past you've mentioned your distaste for the Jeopardy style.
It's just so specific to Jeopardy. It's not, you know, that's not trivia. That's Jeopardy's version of trivia. You know, it's so unique to it that I think if you were to ask that in pub trivia, you'd be doing a version of Jeopardy, basically, maybe a boardless version or something along those lines. But
who is Nancy Kerrigan?
Right, exactly. You're forced to respond in the form of a question, and you know, just out of respect to Jeopardy.
Okay.
Out of respect to fucking Jeopardy.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Jeopardy, man.
So I give those full pibs, but you want a little bit more juice. I think they're subtle right now.
Yeah, I mean they're great questions. They're both great. I mean, I think that the Times Square question is probably easier of the two because it had square in the previous name. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you switch it, you know, if you say Times Square was formerly known as what, it's too fucking difficult.
Yep.
You know, I don't really know that it's a good 3-4 pointer. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not very hard, and I like a little bit more difficult trivia question. I mean, it's a fine question.
Yeah, these are great openers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Every round I try and have like one easy-ish one, and that would work perfectly for like a 3-5 pointer for one of my trivias, either of those.
Right. Okay, we've got a couple more in the tank for next episode, but feel free to send in your own Rate My Questions. You can do that at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call it in 1-929-356-6966. Put it in your phone. 1-929-356-6966.
We might clock this bad boy in under an hour and a half.
That would be a miracle. We'll see.
Is it you?
Yes.
Yes.
It's time for my award redemption question.
Yeah, well.
We're moving over to the Academy Awards. Okay. Let's see how this one suits you.
Yeah, well.
Alfonso Cuarón shares a record for individuals to be nominated for 6 distinct Academy Award categories with what other individual who has been nominated for Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Picture between the years of 2006 and 2013 is when they received those nominations.
Oh, wow. Wowie, wowie, wow, wow. I was not expecting that. I always thought, man, I was thinking someone else. I was thinking Warren Beatty. Because we had a question that was similar about Warren Beatty being up for a bunch of awards or whatever.
Yes, Warren Beatty was the only person nominated for acting, writing, producing, and directing the same film.
Yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Twice it happened, for Heaven Can Wait and Reds.
Yeah. Can I get the question one more time? I don't need the Alfonso Cuarón part. I just need...
This person was nominated for Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Picture between 2006 and 2013.
Jesus, the Best Supporting Actor. A director. This is not unlike Dr. Dre, who's a producer who can rap and control the maestro at the same time with the dope rhymes that he kicks. You know, and he knows he pulls some more funky shit.
Yes, not unlike that.
So we got a director and screenplay writer who has written his own screenplay or her own screenplay. Well, you said actor, so his. Who's also adapted another person's screenplay and was best supporting actor and what else? Best film. Yes.
Best picture. Yeah.
Best picture. I'm trying to think of someone who directs and acts alone.
Best picture is a producer credit, by the way.
Oh, it is.
Help you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That does help.
Cause you could get best director for directing a movie, but best picture, the producer is the one who accepts the award.
Quentin Tarantino comes to mind.
For his role in Planet Terror, the Grindhouse film. Best supporting actor, Quentin Tarantino.
All right, not Quentin Tarantino. Well, I know that he acts and stuff. I know he acted in Pulp Fiction. I know he acted in Reservoir Dogs and some other stuff. And I was thinking maybe he like played something in another movie that I didn't see. If he had like a bigger part, like Django Unchained or something, but he usually only plays bit parts. He doesn't usually play like main parts. I wonder if it could be, what's his face? Ben Affleck. I wonder if it could be him. I know he's done some good stuff and he like acts. Could it be someone who is not American? I'm gonna go out on a limb. Producer. I would have felt more comfortable if it was a director. I'm gonna say Ben Affleck.
Wrong. No. Ben Affleck, though, is the youngest winner of an award for Best Original Screenplay for Good Will Hunting. But the answer that I'm looking for is George Clooney. George Clooney was nominated for Good Night and Good Luck for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay. Best Supporting Actor for Syriana in 2006. All that happened. 2008, he was nominated for Best Actor in Michael Clayton, and then nominated for Best Actor again in Up in the Air, and then one more time for The Descendants in 2012, where he was also nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, The Ides of March, and nominated for Best Picture, Argo, which he produced.
Okay.
And
yeah. Argo was Ben Affleck. That's
right.
I know that I knew that he was in Argo, and that's kind of part of what made me think that he may be it. But
right. Not a bad guess.
Thanks.
Not a bad guess.
I appreciate it.
I would also think that Clint Eastwood would be another good guess because he sometimes acts in his projects. But yeah, he is the oldest Best Director winner. Best Director. Best Director. He's the oldest Best Film Director winner for Million Dollar Baby in 2004.
It's an expensive baby.
Yeah.
Here's your last question. Occasionally called shaddock and native to Southeast Asia, what fruit's scientific name is Citrus grandis or Citrus maxima?
Big citrus.
Shaddock. Spend and cheese.
Big citrus.
On BLADs. Big citrus of an NYC.
Shattuck. You said East Asian?
Southeast Asian.
Southeast Asian. And can I get the names one more time?
Citrus grandis and Citrus maxima.
Big old citrus.
That's a big bitch.
Even, I mean, grapefruit is what I think, but that seems so small. Blood orange has other characteristics. You wouldn't think large. You would think like this is like dark juice, blood juice. So I don't think it would be that. Oranges are pretty big, but tropical. Star fruits aren't very big. Kiwis aren't very big. It needs to be big and a citrus. I was thinking, like, you know, Lisa's telling me pineapple's not citrus, but I'm starting to feel like maybe it is. It looks like it would something you would call shaddock. It's just like all pointy and like, you know, it's got like the K's, the points on the K's, spiky.
Spiky word.
Spiky fruit go next to spiky word. Could be a melon. Probably not. It's got to have that meat in it. You know?
We have the meats.
Pomegranates are pretty large, but I don't know if those are citrus. They could be. I know they can be juiced. Does that make a citrus? No.
But what makes a citrus?
They seem Asian. Could be the persimmon. What did John say? Was that the national fruit of Japan?
Mm-hmm.
The persimmon? Well, pomegranate, that's a French name. But I think the French were over there at some point, mucking around, colonizing.
Being jerk boys.
I'll go with the pomegranate. I don't know that it's a citrus.
That's incorrect.
I guess it's not a citrus.
I mean, it might be, but I don't know. But you, as far as the answer is concerned, you had half of the word right. The correct answer is the pomelo.
Oh.
The pomelo.
I asked a question last night about the paloma.
Oh, okay.
Which is a drink with tequila, but not pomelo.
The pomegranate, it does not seem it is citrus, no. Mm. It is it originated in the region extending from Iran to northern India.
Yeah.
Okay. It was introduced to Spanish America in the late 16th century and California.
So it's not even French, it's not Spanish then of origin.
As
far as the name goes.
The name of pomegranate derives from medieval Latin, pomum, apple, and granatum, seeded.
Hmm.
Which, what a bunch of dummies, because apples are seeded too. Okay, come on.
DC Comics, Detective Comics comics.
Exactly. ATM machine, mm-hmm. An automated teller machine. The pomelo, however, is a citrus fruit. As I mentioned, from Southeast Asia, it is similar in taste to a large sweet grapefruit. And it is used for festive occasions throughout Southeast Asia.
That sounds good.
Yes, it does sound
good. Imagine a grapefruit that doesn't taste like bullshit.
right? Yeah. Pamplemousse in French is how you say pomelo. Oh.
So that's the LaCroix flavor. It says pamplemousse on it. I always wondered what that
was.
Well,
that's grapefruit. Yeah. I believe pamplemousse is, but this is pamplemousse. Mm. So I don't know. I don't know how it got that name or whatever. It's also spelled a couple different ways, like pomelo or pomelo with two L's. And pomelo has historically been used for crepe. Pomelo has been used for grapefruit, but it is also its own name.
Ah.
It got the name Shattuck after a captain named Shattuck of the East India Company, which you may remember that name in your various trivia travels, mm-hmm. Introduced it to Barbados. So the fruit was called Shattuck in English, and it spread to Jamaica in 1696, and people there still refer to it as Shattuck.
Pomelo.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good information.
Mark, thank you for bringing that.
Lee, thanks for bringing your body. Good lunch today. Mm-hmm. Good day.
Yep.
Good day, sir.
We can finally put this bed situation to rest.
Oh, thank Christ.
Put it to sleep.
I'm curious to know how you feel about the grid.
Well, you know, it's got a 100-day trial, so I'm going to be rating that fucker every night. What am I at today? On a 100 scale. And they'll average them all together. And I'll say if it doesn't hit 70, that's how low I'm willing to go with this, just not have the hassle sending it back. But if my score at this is below 70, I'm sending it back.
Please do.
Yeah. So, and thanks to Mo for reaching out with his hilarious joke about, are you sure that's a purple, not a Casper? Because they're ghosting you. Oh,
wrong.
Hey, now. I meant to do that. That's for you, Mo. All right, that concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest, by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can also change your review if you're Jeopardy Man. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Speaking of our Patreon page, did you say Patreon? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of it.
There you go.
Yep.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters.
Thank you
for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David, Holberg, Holberg, Hork. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Molly and Ryan, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpel Snailskins, Doug, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.,
Mike Clooney Quaron Team Up Movie,
Michael J.,
Mike Jingles by Dr. John,
and Michael S.
Mike Sleep, aka Mike Dodo.
I mix those up a little bit.
I know, you almost got me there. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram.
Hold on. Why has no one called this fucking number? At this point, Shy we've been voices. Begging people, look, we don't care. Don't even say who you are. It doesn't matter.
We tried this last week. We tried that tactic.
I'm going to get more and more intense every week. Look, are we paying for this thing?
No. I mean, yes, of course we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're paying for it.
We're paying for this. Severe money. It's a lot of money. We're
I don't want you to think we're mismanaging regardless, your Patreon yeah,
phones. Regardless of whether or not we're paying for it. We have this phone thing. We want you to call it. We're begging you, please. We've even eased up a little bit on the 5 stars thing, even though no one's been leaving reviews. We got to pick our battles. I think we're both firm believers in that.
Oh, you got to pick them.
So, you know, right now we're asking you to call in. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear you laugh. Even if you got something to say about an episode, fucking call it in. Mm-hmm. Jeopardy Man, grow some nuts. Call us in.
1-929-356-6966.
Yeah. Call us in and say that you don't want any F-bombs.
Yeah. Let's hear you say it.
Yeah. Say it to my face. Bitch man. Jeopardy
okay,
bitch.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let's not get too crazy here.
All right. I'm sorry. Cursing. Hey, I apologize. Yeah. I shouldn't have threatened you. Look, I got caught up. Jeopardy man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Judge him on his aggression for sure, but not on the language that he uses.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have a Discord and a Reddit that you can find us on. Please join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars only, please. Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.